Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams. We know that you'll be blessed today, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be inspired, and that your faith will go higher and higher. The word is like water to our souls, and as we thirst for righteousness and thirst, we will be filled. Blessings to you and blessings to the kingdom of God.
God says, without holiness that no man will see God. But in Nahum 1 and 11, it says, from you come forth one who plots evil against the Lord. And it goes on to say that it's a wicked counselor. And so he is speaking here, and we've been talking about lawlessness and rebellion. A lot of our movies are based on just are based on lawlessness, and we all know that we have to be undercover. We all have to have some type of covering. There has to be laws. We're not under the law, but there are laws that we live under. In this particular scripture, I want to read it from another version. It says, from you has emerged someone plotting evil against God. And when I think about that, I think about the Antichrist spirit. There are so many people that are being martyred as missionaries by Muslims who are anti-Christ, by other people who just do not like Christ. I mean, there are some people that just hate the name of Jesus. And even the Word of God says that we will be persecuted because of the name. To read this other, actually it's out of the NJ, the New Jerusalem Bible. It says, from you has emerged someone plotting evil against Yahweh. And it goes on to say, one of Belial's counselors. So here we've been talking about the Belial spirit, and we've really gone into detail about it. But here we see Nahum, he's prophesying judgment against Nineveh and also the Assyrian Empire. And the king of Assyria, he was plotting against the Lord. Another translation says, who is this king of yours who dares to plot against the Lord? So this spirit, it's an antichrist spirit. I want to look at Psalms 2 and 2 through 3. And it says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. So there you have it. The ultimate goal of Belial is just to cast off restraints. In the church, it's a restraining force of the earth against the filth of the ungodliness. And the Belial's desire is to flood upon the earth. One of the things this week that the Lord has kind of spoken to us in a word that he's been speaking is having boundaries. And we all need those boundaries around us. And that's a part of not saying we have to be having the law and under the law because we're under you know, grace and truth. And just a little side note there, grace is not saying to do whatever you want, but grace gives us the power to live holy. But we have to have boundaries around us. You know, even you think about somewhere where we're staying in Mozambique, we're right in the middle of a very dangerous area. And actually across the street, they have like a little saloon or something over there, or whatever, not a saloon, it just in the olden days kind of remind me of saloon, but what we would call a bar. And they have a gate around, a wall. There's a boundary. It's not because we're under the law, you know, but it's because we have to have boundaries to keep us safe. We have laws in the land that to tell us don't go out into the traffic, or don't speed, or don't turn left, or don't turn right. This is a one-way street. So we have those laws. We have those boundaries. But the church is a restraining force on the earth, and it comes against the filth. And when we talked about holiness, do you know a lot of people, they don't want to hear that. Where I am, they have dogs as their guards. And they actually have 8 dogs, because they say you can't trust the security guards, because the security guards will actually, on your compound, they will tell people when you go in and out, possibly. And so the dogs, you know, a lot of people are afraid of the dogs. And I didn't really understand that until yesterday. I wanted to go walk. And I went with one of the young men here at the ministry, and he had a big, I don't know what type of dog that is, and I had a big black dog, and maybe it's a cross between a boxer, but everybody saw us coming. They moved, to the other side. But the point is here, we have to have some type of security, some type of constraint that's there. But some people don't want us to have any boundaries. And I think that's what God is saying today. And when we talk about holiness, people sometimes they're like, okay, wait a minute, we got to have God's grace. We got to have this open door. It has to be broad. But you know, the word of God says narrow is the way, and few there are that will find it. But in the Amplified Bible, it says, and they cast their cords off from us. These kings of the earth are the spirits of lawlessness and rebellion. While there is no law, people run wild. If we don't have a law, you know, people run wild. You think about your son or your daughter, or your grandchildren. You are not just going to let them do and go off with and do anything they want, and because you know what, it's going to harm them. And so what you do is you have some type of restraint there to be able to keep them under the umbrella of God. But this is the core. This bears repeating. And cast their cords of control from us. These kings of the earth are the spirits of lawlessness and rebellion. So I think we're at America. We're looking at our entire judicial system, not just in America, but everywhere we go. The system, we see that people are wanting to change and follow America. But America, believe it or not, and we may not want to accept this, but it was based on the Judeo-Christian ethics that were found in the Bible. And that's where I believe that we need to continue to stay, even in our own lives. So in other words, the foundation, even of our legal system, you believe it or not, a lot of our laws in the hospital, our dietary laws came from the Word of God about what we eat, how the cleanliness, how they take care of things that are contaminated. And then guess what? Our judicial system, a lot of the laws actually came from the Word of God and our foundation of our legal system. And even with our culture and our society, it rejects the Bible as the moral authority. And really, and I believe if this continues, we're going to eventually have problems with even the judicial system. But back to this Belial spirit, the Belial, it hates the restraining power of the Bible. And that's the Holy Spirit and the church. I was reading the other day, I believe it was in, was it Titus or either Timothy? And he was saying, look, don't think I'm talking about you and all these sexual things that I'm trying to come against you or be judgmental. He says, but I'm doing this because I love you. He said, because I want you to do the right things. And but what is happening even in our society today, they're saying, you're talking about all these things and you're coming against us. You're judging us. No, we're just trying to see that the boundaries that God has for us and all of us, that we are in compliance with that. But Belial hates the restraining power of the Bible. It hates the Holy Spirit, the church. And that's why it's such an attack. And sometimes the enemy will try to come in viciously. And it's not that anyone thinks they're better than anybody else or that we've arrived. I had a dream last night, which was so beautiful. And it was like of a tapestry. And it showed my life and how within my life I was going up like Jacob's ladder. And I believe we go from glory to glory. We go from faith to faith. We go from growth to growth. But it started at the bottom of my life and the mistakes that I made through my life. And as I was patched, it showed a trail of repentance and growth and repentance and growth and repentance and growth. And so when I got up this morning, I was telling Star about it. And I was just amazing how beautiful it was. And the Lord, he said to me in the dream, he said, you have learned the importance of walking in repentance and not staying where you were. And I believe that's what he wants. It's not that. And when we get to heaven, that's what he's going to say to us. You know, did we repent? Did we continue to go to the higher place in him? But Belial's desires, you know, he desires immorality and ungodliness to reign without any restraint. And that's one of the things back to the puppy I was telling you. I got a little off of there and start talking about walking the dog. But with that puppy, beautiful flowers are outside. And I mean, they had eaten up those flowers. If they didn't tear up one, they tore up four or five of them. And so I took one of them, was just on the ground, just tore to shreds. And I mean, they were chewed up and just trampled up on. And there was one that was so wilted. And I think it had been out there most of the day, maybe longer than that. But I brought it in here and I brought it in my bedroom. I put it in some water and I pruned it off, those that were broken. And it was just laying there limping. And I was like, this thing is not doing anything. It's just laying there. So I changed the water. And then about 4 days ago, I looked and it had about 12 roots coming out of it. 12 beautiful roots that were coming out of the flower and out of the plant. So yesterday I took it outside and I put it back in the pot. And amongst all these plants, they're cactuses. And one of the young boys here in the home said, let's put this big cactus in front of it to put a restraint around it to, and you know, so that the dogs, if they eat this big cactus, they're going to be, if they bite this, he said, they're going to be hurting. So they put it way in front of mine. I said, well, let's move this other one over too so they can't get here and tear it up. So sometimes, you know, that's that restraint. That's that we have to have that protection and a covering around so the enemy, you know, can't get in, or the little puppy that's learning to grow can't come in and eat the plant. So this morning I looked out the window, and then last night when I was out going to go out for a walk to the store, I looked at it and the wind was blowing and it was getting strong, and I was like, wow, so beautiful. But so we all, you know, there's, even with that little analogy, you know, we have to have some type of restraint there. But, and Belial, he's responsible for an attack up as I said, upon our system, upon the laws of the land, upon all the different things that the enemy would try to bring. And even, of course, we know against homosexuality. And I was told in South Africa, they changed their law immediately after we changed ours. And lesbianism, adultery, and we went into our previous session, we talked about zoology, zoo animals, bestiality, and so forth. But we're going to take it to a different perspective today. Even with the homosexual spirit, they believe that they have the right to live ungodly lifestyles. And there's so many people, just not in this lifestyle, but in a lot of lifestyles, many are clamoring. They're saying, leave me alone. Let me do what I want. I don't want any preacher telling me what's right. I don't want any preachers telling me what's wrong. And so what does society do and say, well, it's okay. You know, it's all right. Just do what you want to do. We're all free. We're all, you know, we all make mistakes. Yes, we do. But that dream that I had of that tapestry that the Lord spoke to me this morning, and I can still see it. And I told Star, I said, it reminded me of climbing Jacob's ladder. We progress. We don't arrive. We're constantly working. Working is continuation of what we're doing, our soul salvation in fear and trembling, but we're not staying in the same place. And that's how the tapestry that I saw was that we're going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. But some people just want to say, just leave me alone. But some people are settling for that. Even now, people are going to homosexual weddings. So these are things that need to be discussed. I'm not saying don't love them. If you have relatives or family members that, you know, are getting married, I think that's a part of you signing the register. That's your appearance there is like you're for that. But some people don't see that. And I know a lot of people that will listen to this won't like it. But I'm not here to appease or please no man. I'm here to talk about this spirit that Nahum said in Nahum 1 and 11, and even the word that I read out of the Amplifies, it says, and cast their cords of control from us, the kings of the earth, the leaders, they're the spirits of lawlessness and rebellion, and we can't continue to walk in that area. But back to this point, we want, people are saying, leave me alone. And others are asserting, give us separation. You know, we want to be separated from church and state, and take the prayer out of schools. And this is all an attempt to cast off restraint. Don't tell me I need borders. Don't tell me I need laws. Don't you tell me I can't drink. Look at me. That's a law. I'm not under the law, but even we look at some of the people in the Word of God. What happened with Samson? That he took the Nazarite vow. Throughout so many of the scriptures, it says, be not drunk with wine, but with the Spirit of God. And so and I don't want to go into the details of that, but I had touch based a little bit the other one. Gin makes you feel one way, scotch another, wine, it's a spirit that brings out perverseness, makes you have different feelings of even a sexual arousal and so forth. But let's move on from that point and let's go into detail of restraint. The faithful, I believe, the faithful and godly people, and not just in America, but all over the world, they begin to feel, remember when Job, how he felt when he was being persecuted, how he was being mocked. And I believe that the feelings that he cried out, sons of the worthless, the nameless, he says, I am a byword to them. They come against me. They stand aloof from me. And he says, and do not refrain from spitting in my face or at the sight of me. Some people will hate it when you talk about holiness. And I was thinking, well, okay, Lord, today we're going to talk more about this. I know everybody's probably ready to go something else. But without holiness, we can't see God. And here he's saying, that, he's saying they're spitting in my face or at a side of me. They have cast off the bridle of restraint before me. And he says, on my right hand rises the rabble broad, and they jostle me and they push away my feet and they cast up against me. Their ways of destruction, they're coming against me like an advancing army. And he's asking to be rescued. He said, he was basically, this is Job 38 through 12. And I believe that some people are so afraid to even speak about holiness. Just as I had shared with you in February of last year when Star spoke, and one of the ladies had asked a question about her homosexual lifestyle. This was at a school, and everybody ran up front and to charge after her because of her question and her answer. And she answered the question in a very sweet way. She said, I don't believe that that's what God has called us to live. And people were saying that they came on the mic and they were saying, well, it's a law. You're going to have to honor. But it goes back to the lawlessness. So I believe that we all need to be rescued, even as Job, if we're standing up for righteousness. Because Job did. He went through so much. But we have to be restored. We have to restore and restrain the godliness to in America and around the world. Last Sunday, I told you the church we ministered at, the pastor here was doing his whole message on polygamy because so much of the African culture believes in having more than one wife and not just if they are married because of the cultural aspect that has been imparted to them over the years. Some of them that are married believe still in having more than one concubine. So we just need to pray, God, Lord, that your word, that it's clearly identified the reason and that we take it worldwide as we walk into godliness and walk in the blessings. Because in America and around the world, it's falling into immorality. But if God tells us clearly where there's no revelation, where there's no vision, where there's no redemption, revelation of God, the people, they cast off what? Restraint. So our nation and the whole world, we're seeing it's forsaken the restraints of God's word for their own godless and the liberal agendas that they want to have. And that's just, I remember in the 60s, there was the hippie movement. Everything was free love, and they had more streakers than they've ever had before. They, on the news, I remember in the, not the 60s, I guess it was the late 70s and 80s. They were, maybe middle 70s. They were streakers on television, that the news, the streakers, people were running downtown. I don't know if it was a dare or what, but people were running and taking off their clothes, and there was a liberation. Everybody went braless. There was free love, have sex with who you want, and that spirit came into our culture. And you know, the nation, it's forsaken the restraints. We saw the Zulu tribe, and culturally they have their shirts off, but we went to a meeting and one of the young ladies was actually going to be going there for the weekend to a they said it was a beach. They were concerned about the youth, you know, her daughter's going there and son, because on this beach the guys, they dress and they do the Zulu dance, and of course we've seen the African pictures with the girls who are braless, and you can say, okay, that's culture. But we were informed, because I wasn't aware of the culture, that they actually have sex as well. So while they're doing that on that beach. So it was new to us. And so we had put up actually a picture. We're like, well, this is culture of the men with their tops, you know, they didn't have their shirts on. And I said, you know, well, we don't, it might sound like we're being over religious or whatever. I said, but if that's the spirit behind it, even though I did ask them what they were singing, and basically through this ritual, the one we saw at one of the theme parks in Africa, they were talking about fighting the white man and getting their freedom. But they were saying for this particular island, the island beach that they had, it was kind of secluded. Actually, were engaging in sexual intercourse, and the kids were going there for the weekend for their break. We're in winter here in Africa for their winter break. And I was like, wow. So they were saying, you know, talk to, you know, the youth about that and pray so that they can be restrained. We're talking about, you know, the restraint. I don't know why I'm thinking about restraining orders, but so they could be the restraints. But God has to, he has to have mercy on us as we go forth, and because we want to walk in the blessings of God, but we've forsaken the restraints from God's word for their own liberal views and not walking in godliness but godless ways. So we just need to pray that we have mercy, and that God is reestablishes you know, us in the laws that he has. And that's my prayer today, that we don't walk in the rebellion, because we even see with rebellion, that with Moses, he was very disappointed with the Levites and with Israel's spiritual leaders. What did they do? He was about to die. He called the Levites together and he told them, he said, this is God's book. This is the law. He said, just keep it beside the sacred chest that holds the agreement. God gave this to Moses. He said, God gave this to me. And he said, the Lord your God has made this agreement with Israel. Isn't it amazing? Just like with children, you tell them to do this. And that's like with God. Do this. This is my laws. I just want you to do what's right. But what do we want to do? We want to rebel sometimes. We don't want to do what's right. But he said, the book of God, it's proof that you know what God wants you to do. And he's saying, don't be stubborn. Don't be rebellious. He says, because you and the rest of the Israelites, you have been that way. He's just saying, look, I'm about to depart. You've rebelled against the Lord while I've been alive. And that's what he was telling them. All this thing, all that Moses went through. And he said, it'll only get worse after I'm gone. So Moses was telling them, he said, call all the leaders, all the officials of the tribes of Israel. And he said, I just want to bring the book and I want to read every word of it to you. And he says, I'm going to call the sky and the earth as a witness that all you know what you are supposed to do. He says, I'm going to die soon. And I know in the future, you will stop caring about what is right and what is wrong. And you will disobey the Lord and you will stop living the way I told you to live. And God is going to be angry and terrible things are going to happen to you. That's Deuteronomy 31:26-29. So his word describes a great host of things that are going on, not just, you know, here in Africa, but America, worldwide, with spiritual leaders, with us as individuals. And so our prayer is, Lord, help us to continue to serve you with a godly, and we want to have a righteous heart, and keep us from falling. We want to, and from failing you as others have. Isn't that what we want to see? I was listening today to my Bible on tape, and it talked about, and Saul died because he did this, because he was disobedient to God. And so in other words, it was saying he may have lived longer, but the word of God says, even children, when you obey your parents, you have long life. When you obey these laws that God has, it's a blessing to you. I know as we travel, we see so many different pastors and their children, or different homes we may go through and see their children. And we see the disciplinary factors of those that are obedient, those that are disobedient. And it's just safety in the being obedient. And I'm going to turn it over to Star, but I just want to pray that Father God, that your word, you know, that it tells us what happened. Even when your people in Israel, when they abandon your ways. And our prayer is that we want to be able to walk in the purity of what God has. And, you know, in Hosea 4:1-3, it says here, God indicts the whole population here, but it says, no one is faithful, no one loves, no one knows the first thing about God. All this casting and lying and killing, theft, and loose sex, sheer anarchy, one murder after another. And I think about, you know, our neighborhoods. And because of all this, the very land itself weeps, and everything in it is grief stricken. Can you imagine? Then that's out of the message, how that was then. And so we just want to cry out for our land. And if you look on down to verse 4-10, and it says, and you told the priest and the prophets, but don't look for someone to blame. No finger pointing. This is, of course, out of the message. Because you've turned your back on knowledge. I've turned my back on you priests, because you refuse to recognize the revelation of God. I'm no longer recognizing your children. I thought, wow, that's really, you would say, wow, God. So this sounds like America. It sounds like some of our other cultures. But our prayer is for Father God to forgive us, Christian leaders, for turning our backs on your revelation and redeem us. You know, your church, redeem your church so that we can lead the world into righteousness. That's our prayer. Growing up, and many of you probably heard me tell the story, but one of my teachers and one of the evangelists at the church, they were really my mentors. She just went home to be with the Lord at 94, something like that, 90, about 2 years ago. He talked holiness and living right. And we had one young minister who came to visit and do a revival. He said, how do you sit here and listen to that every Sunday? And I was thinking, I love it. We want a father. We want to be corrected. We don't want someone that's just going to tell us all the good stuff and we're not going to know what to do, because without holiness and living correct, no man will see God. And we just want to do what's right, and we want to reverence the Lord God. Saul, when he was so proud, he was arrogant that he disobeyed God. Samuel, he went to him and to tell him, you know, you can't do this. You know, God is not pleased with that. And let's just look at that quickly, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Starr. 1 Samuel 15, 22-23, it says, and so Samuel, he was sent to tell him. He said, does the Lord really want sacrifices and offering? He said, no. He doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants you to just obey him. Rebelling against God or disobeying him because you are proud is just as bad as worshiping idols or asking them for advice. You refuse to do what God told you, so God has decided that you can't be king. Wow. So our prayer is, Lord, keep us from being rebellious. Keep us from being proud. Keep us from being disobedient to you. And Father, it's our prayer that you may never have to say that about us. I was thinking about, was it Nebuchadnezzar who was so proud and he never wanted to say it was God? He said everything he did, he built this thing. It was because of him. And for 7 years, he was outdoors. He grew feathers until he finally got to a point of repentance and realized that, okay, it wasn't me after all, God. I hadn't been out here on this ground 7 years plowing around like a big bird. It's not I, Lord. I can kind of hear Dad saying, not I. It's not I, Lord, but it's you. It's all about God. And it's just so simple. Think about your own children. Just think, everybody get a visual of their kids or get a visual of your grandchildren. I mean, what would you not want to give them? If they say, yes, Granny, or Mimi, or yes, Mama, yes, Daddy, I'll do this. And they walk in there and they do their laundry or fold their clothes, clean their room, and they come back and say, anything else can I do? I mean, you're like, wow, I'm going to leave you my house, my car, my bank account. I'm going to give you todo mundo, as I would say in Portuguese. That's everything. That's all God is saying. You're like, yes, Lord, I'm at your command. What do you want me to do? Now, like, God, I ain't doing that. I ain't got time for this. You know, I ain't got time for this. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do what makes me feel good. I'm going to do it my way. And that's all God is saying. He just, you know, inquire of God. Just like Saul, me and Star having this whole conversation this morning. He went to the witch of Endor. I'm like, why would you go there? After he had cast all of them out of the land. That was his thing. God said, move all the idols, all the witches, all the sorcerers. But then at the end, after he rebelled from God, God didn't hear him. He went to the witch and called up Samuel. But anyway, God has a plan. So that's our heart. Everything that's our heart's desire. And I know it's yours. That everything we do, God, what do you want? Our God, how do you want to do it? You were just making some decisions yesterday. Where do we go? This way, that way, this, you know. And so we're like, okay, God, what? And I'm like, okay, we had our business meeting. And then I'm like, well, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? How do you want to do this? And then you're in the safe place. You're in the safe zone that God's blessings and restraints can be there, because it's in the safety net. And as I use the analogy, the umbrella, he's like an umbrella to protect us from the sun. Yesterday we went out walking and I saw two girls. They had an umbrella and it wasn't that hot, but from the sun, from the rain. It protects us from the wind. But when we move that umbrella like God, and we can be from under the covering, are the restraints that God wants us to walk under. But so that is our prayer, that we not have to experience, and that we can say, Lord, I'm sorry for everything that I've done. I'm sorry, God, for because of any pride, or if I failed to disobey. That's our prayer, that pray out to the Lord that he can save us from any destruction that the enemy may try to bring upon us, that we could continue to walk in the righteousness of God and not try to blame or have to point the finger. But sometimes we make, as I used to say, you know, we make our bed, and sometimes we have to lie to in it. I know that at one of the places we went, they had one of the girls that were staying there, and she had had a child at the orphanage, and they raised the child. Then she got out and had another child. So it came to a point where sometimes you have to learn, and there has to be a restraint. There has to be, you know, there has to be the laws. It's not that you don't love, you know, love that child, but, you know, there was a decision made for her to go to be with the, you know, with the daddy of the child. And you're like, okay. But we all have, we have restraints, and we have, there's rules. And every place that we go, you think about where you work. You know, if you're in construction, you have to have on hard hats. And if you're working in other places, you might have to have gloves on. So it's for our protection that we do it God's way, and be under the covering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you were blessed, and we pray that the word that was planted has been planted in fertile soil, and that it will grow. Please continue to tune in. We want to encourage you, and just knowing you're listening, it encourages us. And also visit our website at lemglobal.org. That's lemglobal.org, because we want to keep you posted on what we're doing. And maybe you could even go on missions with us. And also, we would love to have you to be a part of our training school for missionaries. Blessings. Thank you for your time. It's really appreciated.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.